that listens to you. You're listening to KLOK, San Jose, San Francisco, and Oakland, the largest and most powerful Lazy radio station in America, a Universal Media Access radio station.
Welcome to The Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Lisa P., bringing you news and information from the real estate world. So pull up that chair, get out the coffee and pen and pencil, and let's join in the fun.
Yeah, baby. Welcome to the Property Beat. Oh, my goodness. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, here at the Property Beat, along with co-host Lisa P. Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Hello, Cliff. I'm not in a building. I'm not near termites. I'm not climbing fences. It's a gorgeous day. It's perfect. Although, you know what? I probably will have to climb in some window because I'm wearing a long dress today, and that's usually how it happens.
I don't even want to know what you do with your long dress when you crawl. Anyway, so the Property Beat here is about real estate. And every week we talk about your real estate ideas and issues, and we talk about some topics that we bring to the table. It's always a good, fun dialogue, and we invite you to join in at 408-912-5565. Again, 408-912-5565. And keeping us safe and out of trouble is Garman in the booth. Good morning, sir.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Going well.
He sounds like Hooman on Alice Radio, man of few words.
Did you have a late night or something, man?
How did you guess?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'll keep my voice.
Yeah, we'll talk in a low
voice.
Well,
you know what they say. Hair of the dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Except go for hair of the dog.
It's probably a bad idea for an engineer to be, you know, have a quick shot of Jack Daniels in the morning.
No, I'm thinking more like vitamin G.
Oh, is that hair of the dog? I don't think so.
No. Cliff was right.
Well, may this day go by quickly for you, my friend.
It'll go fast. It's okay. Thank you.
And spicy food.
Yeah, that'll help too.
Does that work? I've never heard that. Oh, I didn't know that. I always thought it was about greasy food, you know, like you had all those middle of the night bingers when you've been drinking and you just need something to stabilize your body.
You know, we were just talking. There is no 24-hour restaurant open in Marin County.
Wow. Yeah, the one and only Denny's went away.
I know. I personally think that's a niche. Somebody should jump on board and do it.
You guys should
get on.
And
you know what?
You guys
don't open until dinner.
You guys need to get on top of that.
Yeah, exactly. No, we need one more thing to do. So, folks, today before we jump into Lisa's story of the week and kind of what's been going on with her, we are going to talk about dual agency.
Ooh.
And we're going to talk about multiple offers. And it's going to be a controversial show, and we know you're going to have stories that you want to get in. So make sure you call and join in the conversation at 408-912-5565, because actually we love to hear stories about agents. So Ms. Lisa P., how's it going out there?
It's going great. I'm busy. You know, I love it when I'm busy. It makes me happy, happy, happy.
And you know what that means?
You're happy, happy, happy too.
Happy life.
Oh, I love it. So, you know, folks, I want you to know that we really do practice what we preach.
Oh, what do you mean by that? Tell us.
Well, our daughter lives in Chicago, and she has been renting for the last couple of years, and she's thinking about making a move to another condominium, but paying, you know, $2,000 a month, which is significant.
Right.
So, of course, in my little mind, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, she needs to buy, or at least she needs to figure out what she can afford. So, you know, when you're talking to your kid, sometimes it doesn't come, you know, if I suggest it, it's not such a great idea. However, when Cliff suggests it, she becomes open to it. So she's done her little buyer's homework, and then we're going to talk to her a little bit later about what the difference is of her paying rent versus paying a mortgage and some of the tax benefits and whatnot. So that when and if she goes shopping, she does it with a clear understanding so she doesn't make any foibles.
That's true. That's good. And actually, I was surprised at the thoroughness of her email.
Oh, that's
her. Yeah.
But you know, so the first thing out of my mouth was, you know, you want to get somebody that's you really want to hook up with somebody that you can trust. So we've got a couple names for her to people to check out. But I just want you to know that we say what we do and do what we say.
Yeah, you know, and that also brings to mind another thing. You know, so we just went through a major website change literally this morning, and we're in the process, and we'll be working on it and reposting some of our stories and links and all that kind of good stuff. But one of the things that we do for people is that if you are buying in an area that we don't service, the one thing about having been involved in real estate for 30-plus years and on the speaker circuit and coaching and teaching, we have a lot of connections throughout the U.S. and internationally. And if you are looking for a recommendation for an agent, as opposed to the random I met somebody in an open house effect, then
which works.
It sometimes works. Then I would encourage you to just go onto our website and contact us and just say, hey, I'm looking for an agent in Los Gatos, or I'm looking for an agent in Upper Slamovia, or where it might be. And we'll put you together with somebody, give you a couple of options. So we're going to get right back with our news here right after this quick break. So we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cliff Parati, host of The Property Beat on KLOK 1170 AM on Wednesday mornings from 10 to 11 AM. Our sponsors at Lyon & Foster International want to let you know that they offer property management services throughout the Bay Area. If you have a property management need for any kind of property, you can reach them at 415-367-4200, extension 207. Again, that's 415-367-4200, extension 207. If you have a property management need, reach out to the folks at Lyon & Foster International.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Wow, all right, here we are.
How do you dance to that music?
Okay, so what do you got for us? You start us off.
I bet you didn't know this. Did you know that Whoopi Goldberg owns a property in Berkeley?
No, that doesn't surprise me, though.
Yeah, she bought it back in the 70s when she was working on... oh, some film. I don't remember what it is. But anyway, she's put her place, which it looks like it's a duplex, and she's put it on, it's in Berkeley, and she's put it on the market for a mere 1.275. Mm-hmm. And back in 1985, she paid $325,000 for it.
Wow.
I know. That just that she needs the money.
No, it just kind of shows you what's going on with the real estate market, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So she's listing both of her structures, and it sits on about a third of an acre in downtown Berkeley near BART. And some of the house has been renovated, but not all of it. And feels like it was, you know, for 1.2, two structures, feels like it's a pretty good value. I like it. Whoopi, don't get greedy, girl.
So, you know, for our listeners that want to hear about a freebie, you can get a freebie.
Oh, is it an app I can download?
No, it's a house.
Oh.
So
it's free?
Yeah. In UCSF's Children's Hospital in Oakland has they're going to want to expand their facility, and they've had a house that's on their land that is now available. They want to tear it down or get rid of it. So rather than tear it down, they said, well, we'll give it to somebody for free. Okay. And we'll pay up to $20,000. They're also providing up to $20,000 to help the new owner relocate the house. So you can literally get a house for the cost of moving it. There is a catch. But this house is located at, I'm going to tell you the address in case you want to go look at it, 5204 Martin Luther King Jr. Way. And so it's 52nd, and it's right there at their hospital. And so the catch is that they say it's going to cost more than $20,000 to move the 1,040 square foot house, but they're contributing $20,000 towards it. So let's say it costs you $50,000 to move it. You'd have to have a piece of land to put it on, but then, you know, they'll come and cut it off its foundation and take it away and put it on your land. But even if it's $50,000, you know,
there's going to be people all over that, don't you think?
You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't have the expertise or knowledge of how to move a house. But that's
you call the house movers. Everybody's got a smartphone. Come on. I bet I could do it right now.
Okay. So, no, do not do it right now. But all I'm saying is you can get a free house by reaching out and just to contacting Children's Hospital in Oakland. They have a free house at 5204 Martin Luther King that you get, plus a $20,000 moving cost.
So, how big is this place?
1,040 square feet. Okay, so what else do you got?
Wait, I want that phone number.
There's no phone number. You got to look it up. So,
all right. Okay.
What else? Fine.
It looks like the beautiful couple, John Legend and his little lady friend, Chrissy Teigen, are about to sell their property.
So where is
it? New York.
In New York?
In Nueva York. It's a 1,900 square foot apartment, and they're asking a mere $2.5 million.
How big is it?
Just a smidge under 2,000 square feet.
So where's it located? What part of New York?
It is located in...
Oh, my God, you're reading this instead of...
I'm just trying to look. I have no... It's somewhere... NOLA apartment? The NOLA apartment? Doesn't really say where it is. Oh, okay. All right. It's 374 Broome Street.
I don't know where that is, but okay.
Yeah.
NOLA area. So one of the things that you look for are trends in things that are happening out there. And a restaurant company that owns, the name of the restaurant company is Darden Restaurants, but they actually own Olive Garden, which is probably what you know the most, and Longhorn Steakhouse, which you don't really see too much out here.
So they are
in the process. They have about 1,500 restaurants across the U.S., and you go, well, why does that have to do with real estate? Well,
they
own all of their sites right now, and they are in the process of liquidating and transferring 430 individual restaurants into a new REIT. So they're selling this thing to a REIT.
Is that because their restaurants are losing money?
No. I'll tell you why they do this. But okay. So they transfer it into the REIT and they get a buku bucks for doing so. So they're valuing, they're saying they're going to have about $1 billion in proceeds that will be used for paying down its current debt. So, yeah.
They a pineapple upside down cake?
No, but this is a trend. All right. So people may not know this, but McDonald's, for example.
Right.
McDonald's is one of the largest landowners in the United States because they owned every single store. So they would own the real estate and then they would lease it to their franchisee is the concept. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this was back, especially in the 60s and 70s and 80s, it was a very strong idea because that way you always owned the land.
Right.
You always had the security and you didn't have any rent to pay. So if the marketplace went down and you suddenly saw a slump in your sales, you could still weather the storm because you didn't have any mortgages to pay. You only had very minimal property taxes. So that is raising an interesting question, which is, okay, we get it. You're going to liquidate you're going to liquidate a bunch of property and you're going to end up being the tenant, right? Because you're going to do a sale lease back, obligating yourself to a 20-year lease. So the problem becomes, or the risk in this for these restaurants, is that they, in the event of a downturn where a particular restaurant isn't doing well, they're now stuck with a 20-year lease on that property. Right now, if they own the land, they could sunset the restaurant and close it mm-hmm. and turn around and lease it out to somebody else. Right?
Yeah.
Or sell the land off and move on. But you don't have the obligation of a lease for long term.
Well, can't they sublease it?
They could, but it's still a risk, right? What you're doing is you're exchanging immediate cash for risk, right? So you're going to get your $1 billion and you're going to pay down your debt. But then I go back to the other question.
What are you going to do when you want to buy another?
Yeah. Why do you have all that debt in the first place? And if you have all of that debt and you own your land, so you don't owe any, you don't have any payments on this stuff, but now you're going to pay down these debts, aren't you going to eventually be back in the same situation, but have the additional debt of the lease payments that you've had? I just think it's really short-sighted but it's interesting. It just shows you. Anyway, so that's a news story. And that's that, I guess. All right. We're going to be right back with our question of the week. So get ready right after this. Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat. So you may not know this, but we are sponsored by a local real estate company here in Northern California called Lyon & Foster International. The good folks at Lyon & Foster are an international luxury real estate company, helping home buyers and sellers as well as investors, whether they're buying or selling a home locally here in the Bay Area or abroad in a foreign country.
So if you'd like some help or like to discuss those opportunities, please give the folks at Lyon & Foster a call. You can reach them toll-free at 855-367-4200. Again, 855-367-4200. Or you can email them at thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com. Again, that's thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com.
And welcome back to The Property Beat, where it is time once again for our question of the week. So for those of you that are new listeners, this is the way it works. I'm going to ask a question, and the first person to call in with the correct answer will be the winner. And the number to call in is 408-912-5565. Again, 408-912-5565. And one more time, in case you're really slow,
408-912-5565. Yes, we get it.
All right. So here it is.
Okay. I'll try not to answer.
What is it called when a brokerage represents both buyer and seller? What is it called when a brokerage represents both the buyer and a seller in a transaction? If you think you know the name of this, or the what is it called when a brokerage represents both buyer and seller, give us a call at 408-912-5565. I know that right now somebody's fingers are dialing away because they know the answer to this. So, you know, I got to tell you something. While, you know, one of the questions, one of the articles that I didn't pass on, but I'll just kind of throw at it while we're waiting for a caller to call in for our question of the week. Apartment rental rates, or apartment vacancies, I should say, or occupancy, are at a historic in the national scene. 95.3% of apartments are occupied right now. 95.3. That's the highest in history of tracking this in the U.S. 95.3. If that's not a reason to
buy
apartment buildings or to build apartments,
okay,
oh,
so
what a
why
great
is
idea.
It so, why is it so high? Is it more people?
There's more people. The inventory has not grown. The market was down, so they weren't building apartments a few years ago. So, it's just a lower inventory and increased demand. Plus, we have the boomerang buyers, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Do you think with people building new apartment buildings or condo complexes that there might be incentives for, you know, people to go in there? Or do you think that it's just going to all be market rate?
It's all going to be market rate. All right, we have Parau from San Jose is on the line. Welcome to the show. Hello? Parau, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. So do you think you know the answer to our question?
Yes, I do have answer to your question.
Great. What is the answer?
It is dual representation.
Oh, God, that is so close.
You know what? You are so close, but it's not quite the name of the term.
Well, one of them was correct.
Part of it was correct, but can you make a closer stab at it? There's actually a phrase that we're looking for.
Okay, is it dual agent?
Yes. Yay! All right. Yeah. So, there you go.
Okay. So yeah. Cliff was giving me dirty looks because I was going to say it in Spanish. Doble la agency.
You know, that's really important for us. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Parau, are you a first time listener or do you listen to us regularly?
No, first time listener.
Oh, well, welcome
great.
Aboard.
Well, congratulations. So, Parau, I'm going to have you stay on the line, and Garamond, our engineer, is going to get your email address, and then we'll make sure you get a Property Beat mug. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery.
Sure.
Great. Stay on the line. So, wow, that was that. See, I wanted to go. I was going in theme here. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, one of the questions I think we get asked all the time is – you know, is the marketplace tapping out? Is it going to get better? Is it? Well, there was a very interesting story that came out that talked about the boomerang buyers. Do you know who those people are?
I would think it'd be the buyers that left the marketplace
because
probably foreclosures.
Exactly.
They lost their house and now they're coming back.
Exactly. So what happens is that some lenders require anywhere 7 years after a full foreclosure or 4 years after a short sale before their credit will be, they will look at them again for a new home. Well, those dates are now showing up in the next year, this year and the next. And it means that there are 700,000 boomerang buyers that fall into that category that would be eligible to buy again this year, and up over the next 5 years, up to as many as 2.2 million additional buyers coming back into potentially coming back into the housing market.
But do you think, I suspect not very many of them are going to be able to afford to get back into this marketplace, because it's certainly higher now than when they lost their homes.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many people will really be able to qualify.
Well, so I'm going to disagree with you there, because I think that what's going to happen is these people are going to come back in the market, but they're not going to be buying as big a house as they had before.
No, that's probably true.
Right. They're going to buy a smaller to get back in and get the tax benefits of home ownership. Because, you know, if you can own versus renting, owning, we've already talked about that, it's a much better thing to do. But it's interesting, because if in fact this is accurate, and that this $2 million or 2 million buyers over the next 5 years, or you know, which would be like 500,000 buyers a year on the average, it would be interesting. You know, that's a big force in home buying, and if that were to happen, it might continue and stimulate the market beyond that little ebb that we're little minor correction that we're kind of expecting in 2 to 3 years. It could actually carry and push it on a couple of more years. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
So when the market tanked and we had all these properties in foreclosures, how many people do you think on the average actually just took equity out of their house and banked the money?
Oh, I think on a percentage basis, I think it's it's very low. I think you'd be surprised. A lot of the loans, think about all the foreclosures and short sales we had to deal with.
Right.
A lot of, I'd say probably 50% of them had second mortgages on them, where they had invested in something that went south, or they had taken out money to improve the house. I mean, there were certain percentages that just took out money because they could.
Right.
But a lot of the problem was caused, the timing, if you really looked at it, a lot of the problems were caused from the consumer standpoint, because they did 5-year fixed rate loans. Mm-hmm. And those 5-year loans really had these artificially low interest rates that in 5 years suddenly fully indexed up, you know, 2 or 3 points, and that, and the buyer couldn't, they could never qualify for that in the first place. So instead of qualifying based upon what they, based upon a normal traditional 30-year mortgage, they qualified on these shorter term loans. So, you know, you kind of forget, suddenly 5 years zooms by, and you're suddenly faced with, oh, by the way, your mortgage payment is now going from $2,000 to $4,000 a month, and you cannot afford that. And there, and at that same time, housing values were suppressed. So they really had nothing to sell. They had no equity, and they had no reason to stay in the house. I mean, that was a perfect storm. So
okay.
So let's jump on this a little bit. So, folks, we want you to jump in and give us your input on this subject, because I think it's a good one. 408-912-5565. Again, 408-912-5565. And here we go. The discussion I want to have is around, let's say that you're a buyer.
Okay.
And you're looking for a house. And you go into a house and you like the house.
Excuse
Bless
me.
You.
Thank you. Sorry.
And you like the house. Do you, and you don't have an agent, should you use the listing agent to write your offer? Is there an advantage or disadvantage to using the listing agent? Or should you go out there and try to find an agent that's not the listing agent to write your offer on this property? So we want to hear from you, the audience. Do you think you should use the listing agent? Is there an advantage or disadvantage to doing that? And from your own experience, folks, I know some of you have used listing agents and some of you have said, no, I don't want to do that. What are your thoughts? 408-912-5565. We'd love to hear from you. You know what's raising this issue for us?
The fact that one of our agents
one of our agents just had a situation in which they had a buyer that came into the open house that they were holding, the first open house, loved the house, and wrote an offer with them in a multiple offer situation. So there were five offers presented, of which one of those offers was represented by the listing agent. Now, do you think that's a good thing, listeners, or not? What do you think? Give us a call, 408-912-5565.
What about the buyer that makes the decision to look for working with the listing agent because they think they're going to get some kind of a deal?
Well, this is the question. I mean, I'm wondering if our listening audience, by and large, would prefer to use the listing agent when writing an offer, or would they prefer to use just someone else, not the listing agent? I don't want to answer it for them. I kind of want to give them a chance to give their input. So if you have a thought on that, folks, we'd love to hear it, because I'm sure it's something that you've kind of been faced with before. 408-912-5565. Or do you think it makes a difference at all? I mean, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't make a difference, it's something that you don't really care about, or should you care about it? Give us a call, 408-912-5565. Love to hear what you think. We've got Paresh from San Jose on the line joining us. Welcome to the show, Paresh.
Oh, hi. It's a very good question that you asked. I think writing with the listing agent in some cases will get you the house.
Tell us why you say that.
Because in case of multiple offers,
uh-huh,
a listing agent would have advantage over other agents. That's what I noticed with at least a couple of people who bought houses in multiple case scenarios.
So what's the advantage you think they have?
They know the inside track.
They know the inside track. So you think because there's a relationship perhaps with the seller directly that there might be a greater advantage to this particular buyer versus if they had someone else representing them?
That's what I think, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Any other reasons have you ever bought a house where you've used the listing agent to buy?
No, I did not. I did not do that. But recently I've been watching people buying houses, and I noticed that people going with the listing agents have more higher chances of getting the house versus going with their own agent. So that made me think, is it the right choice to do? You know?
Yeah. It's good input. Can you see any downside to working with the listing agent?
Oh yeah, the downside is a big downside because you may be paying more. You may not be represented well, because they will be represented for both the parties, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But definitely, I think going with your own agent is the right thing to do. But the chances of getting a house if you go with listing agent are high. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, thank you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Okay. What do you think? I mean, do you want to give your input on this one?
Oh, I'm going to, but not yet, because we got another caller or two. Yeah, this is a good topic. Thank you for calling
in. Thanks.
Smart man.
Yeah, he wants to know, what's the answer? Well, you know, I can't disagree with anything he said. I do think there's a plus and a minus to both sides. Lise, what do you think is the number one reason why people think they should use the listing agent?
I think because they feel that they're going to get the deal, that they're going to get the house, that the agent is greedy and will want to, you know, double end the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it. Some buyers will try to work with the listing agent because then they can try to get a commissionectomy. In other words, have the list because you're getting both sides of the deal. They're going to give up some of their monies to you, Mr. Buyer, which is all illegal.
No. It's not illegal in the state of California. No. So you know, it's interesting. Do you think...
Isn't it against the code of ethics?
No.
To give your commission back?
No. You just have to disclose it. Yeah, it's not illegal. You know what? I like you thinking that it's illegal.
Well, yeah.
You know, there are some agents out there that will not represent both the buyer and seller. And let me tell you their reasoning. And we have one of those agents in our company. They will not represent the buyer and seller because they believe that they cannot maintain a proper representation of the seller when they suddenly have to work with the buyer. And they can't counsel the buyer the same way they would when they have knowledge of things that they've talked to the seller. Could that?
Yeah.
I mean, that could happen. Like you might, especially, so here's the number one thing that's going to, and I think Paresh said it, you know, you could end up paying more because, so let's say that you're the buyer and you're working with your own agent and you write an offer, that agent, your agent's going to counsel you. You're going to say, well, what do you think I should write at? And they'll pull comps up and they'll give you the comps and they'll say, you know what, I think you should write, if I were you, I'd probably write somewhere in this area.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the lowest I would go. I mean, we do that, right?
Right.
We think it might go in this price, but here's the lowest I would write. And the rest is up to you, Mr. Buyer, to make the decision. You could never do that as the listing agent because you could not counsel the buyer on the price they should write. You could give them the comps, the objective information, and say, here are the most recent sales, but I cannot counsel you on the number you should write in your offer. Because why? Well, for several reasons. Number one, you as the listing agent might have already seen one of the other offers that might be coming in. So you can't use that information to help that buyer. That would be a violation of the code of ethics. So you it's the one sticky little place that you have to be really clear. Now, the other thing that can happen, well, it's a good question. It's a good question. You know what? We're going to come back and we're going to give you some hardcore answers on this. So if you have a thought, if you think it's smarter or not to use the listing agent, or you think it's okay, should you use a listing agent versus your own agent in buying a property, give us a call, 408-912-5565. We're going to talk about the answer when we come right back after this.
Hi, this is Cliff Parati, host of The Property Beat on KLOK 1170 AM. Lisa P. and I want to let you know that we are available to help you with your real estate needs, whether locally here in the Bay Area or internationally. You can reach us directly at 415-298-1899. Again, that's 415-298-1899. Or email us at Cliff or Lisa at thepropertybeat.com. We look forward to helping you with your real estate needs.
And welcome back to The Property Beat, where we are talking about dual agency and whether you should be willing to use, is it your interest to use the listing agent or to use your own agent? Okay, so here's my thoughts.
Okay, let's hear it.
I have no definitive evidence of this, but I suspect Paresh's insight may in fact be more accurate than not. In that, if you use the listing agent in a multiple offer situation, you may have a greater likelihood that you will get the deal than if you don't use that agent. And that sounds terrible because,
yeah, it does.
Because in some ways it's saying, oh, well, it's all about greed and the agent's just going to make more money, so they're going to push your offer more than the others. I don't think it happens. I think, yes, that can happen. There are agents out there that will be their motivation. And the other thing the agent has the flexibility to do, you talked about it, is they could reduce a little bit of their commission for the seller to give them incentive to take that particular deal, which could be problematic a little bit. And I'll touch on that in a minute. But there's also the very real experience of the owners trust the listing agent and they believe in the listing agent's ability to do the job. Otherwise, they wouldn't have listed with them. So when a listing agent comes to the table with an actual offer in their hands and says, this buyer is fully capable, this buyer is a good buyer, we've talked to a lender, and it might be the same lender that maybe was used by the seller when they bought the house because they may have used the agent. There could be some commonality and relationship trust that does leverage well for the buyer using the listing agent. And what happens if the listing agent's client is not the highest offer? Well, here's what I can tell you would happen if you're not the listing agent and you are one of five offers and your offer was not the highest but like number three out of five, what would I be doing with you as a listing? If I'm the listing agent and you came in, you weren't the best offer, but you're with another company, what am I going to do with you if you didn't get the number?
Call me and say, sorry, you didn't get it, or counter me back.
They'd most likely just say, hey, thank you, you didn't get it.
Right.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
But what if the buyer is my client and they're $25,000 low? What am I likely to try to encourage this?
I think this is so not fair.
Because
now you're going to – hey, as somebody who works with buyers a lot, when I'm listening to you, I'm going, oh, Jesus, if I was a buyer, I'd be – going and working with every listing agent out there.
I'm not disagreeing that
I think you're wrong.
Okay, that's
and it makes me mad. So bye.
We're pissing off
folks,
Lisa Pete.
I don't agree with Cliff.
Okay,
at all.
But I'm just saying these are things that can happen, right? These are things that can actually happen, and so it may provide an advantage to. Come on, how many times have we written where we were not the listing agent and the listing agent ended up getting the deal? How many times?
I don't know. I don't count.
You'd have to count. But it happens quite frequently. So there is the possibility. Now.
Okay, I have a question. So I've worked with big companies in the past. And so what happens is if I'm representing the seller and the buyer – my broker sits down and listens to all the offers, and I'm not present when that happens.
That could be or not could be. So you're talking. Let's talk about the presentation process.
Okay.
So normally in a multiple offer presentation, the listing agent sits down with their client and reviews all the offers that have come in. But if in fact they are one of those offers, if they have one of those offers, then most companies have a written policy that says a manager. Supervising agent must sit in on that presentation to ensure not only transparency in the process, but also fair representation of all of the offers, not just the one that came from the listing agent. So they sit down and I did this yesterday where I sat in on a buyer's on a listing presentation or excuse me offer presentations where the listing agent had one offer and I literally control all the offers were sent to me as the broker and we sat down and we went through each of the offers and the listing agent who had their offer that they had written was not allowed to see or touch any of the other offers until the moment when they were presented all at the same time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it gave a high level of transparency and objectivity, and we compared each of the offers in about six different areas, and the seller saw all of this and, you know, was asked questions. And I gave advice without allowing the listing agent to participate in some cases because I was giving advice on behalf of the company about, you know, that needed to be objective. At the end of the day, who do you think the seller chose?
Well, I know because I
have one of the other offers. Yeah. Seller chose the client that was with their listing agent. But let me tell you why they chose them, because it wasn't anything you would think about. These sellers, who happened to be an older couple, had an opportunity to literally meet and see all of the other buyers. They knew who all of these people were.
Yeah, that helps.
And they loved this couple. I don't think it would have mattered who represented this
couple. That's what I was going to say.
They loved this buyer.
Exactly.
So
I loved those buyers.
They were really nice people. But that's really a good point. If you're looking at a multiple offer situation and you're looking at a property, I would take the opportunity if you get a chance to and meet that owner. I wouldn't go invade their privacy, but if they're there as you're walking in and they're walking out and they say hi, or they're as you get to the house to look at it, they're still there. I would talk with them and introduce yourself and saying, "Hey, you got a lovely house," or whatever. And oh, this is my son Billy, or this is we love your place. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity all of that stuff really helped.
I agree.
Did matter at the end. At the game.
Okay, so it wasn't necessarily that this offer was written by the listing agent. It's because they liked that set of buyers.
That is correct. Okay. That is correct. They did like that set of buyers. And there were some terms that they got a chance to respond to that they may not have gotten a chance to respond to had they not had that representation, though. So, but at the end, the seller said, was very simple. I really want those people to get the house. They love you. And it's like, you know what, that's the one thing. As a seller, you get the right to pick who you sell your house to, regardless of numbers.
So I had to write one of the offers because somebody else wanted to work with the listing agent, and that wasn't going to happen. So I did it on his behalf.
Right.
And the buyer, who's very savvy and buys a lot of property, wanted to know what the inside track was. Did I have any inside track? Did I know what any of the other offers were? And I said, absolutely not. I do not know. I do not. They're not going to tell me. And that's not how we work. And I was definitely under the impression that he has asked
that question before.
Oh, yeah. And he got an answer he liked. I guarantee it.
Oh, no. In fact, I was showing a property yesterday, a multi-unit building in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And that this property had at least one other offer on the property. And I asked the simple question of the listing agent, why hasn't this sold? Well, it was priced too high originally. Now it's dropped and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. So I asked them a very simple question.
Are you representing the buyer?
No. I said, what's the number that we need to write at to get this deal? Forgetting the list price, I know what that is. I know they'll sell it for that. But is there a number that they might? And she did not say a number. What she explained was what the seller wanted to net.
Oh, so she did it backwards.
She did it backwards, but she ultimately gave me the number, right? And I can't tell you, folks, that is so not good representation of the seller.
But you as the buyer loved it.
But as the buyer's agent, my job is to get the best deal for the buyer. And I can't tell you, I'd say 50% of the agents that I ask that question to roll over and give me a number.
Yeah, I think that's
which true. Is just like, well, okay. You know, so that
I mean, I would certainly ask it. I'm going to ask as much as I can get away with until they say no.
If they say, come on, I can't answer that, then you know, okay, they're playing the high road and the right road.
Right. Yes.
So there is a disadvantage in using your own agent, using the listing agent. And that is that you do not have the freedom of information and conversation that you might have with just your own agent. They're going to be limited in the kinds of things they can share with you in terms of counsel, because you got to remember, they can't give you counsel that is not in alignment with the seller's objectives, right?
Right.
So that is a disadvantage. If you want objective information, you're not trying to go for the inside track, but you want the best objective information, you're not going to necessarily get that from a listing agent, because they can't do that. So there you go.
True. Okay, now I'm going to go on the other end of the fence.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, now I'm going to be a good reason sometimes to use the listing agent. Uh-oh. Is
jeez, we got her, folks.
Well, no, this just happens once in a while. Is usually with real estate, there's when the you know what hits the fan, it's a people problem. So it could be the seller's emotions, the buyer's emotions, the agent on the other side's emotions, and in this particular case, since we have so many real estate agents, the wacky real estate agent on the other side of the deal. And when you're working on a property where it's, you know, there's a lot of emotion there, sometimes one less personality can be a benefit because it can be for the greater good.
In fact, I just wrote that down.
Oh, hello.
You are on the mark. One voice. You don't have two voices, because how many times have we been in deals where one of the biggest problems in the deal is the other agent?
Oh, my gosh. We feel like we need
We don't want to do this, and we don't think it's fair. And we really.
And you know, and the bad part is when you're listening to this, we, what I really want to say is, are we on title the seller?
Are you one of the owners? I just want to make sure. Yes.
And, you know, you're trying to get the best deal for your client, so you can't insult the agent. As tempting as it is.
Yeah, and there are agents out there that become so problematic, I shun to – if they wrote an offer in a multiple offer situation, I would really mention the challenges of working with this agent.
Yeah.
I really would, because sometimes it can be a problem.
Yeah.
So those are, so your own agent versus the listing agent. Sounds like what you're like a little, are you 50-50 or are you 60-40 one way or another? What do you think?
Oh, probably 60-40. Well, you know what though? I've been doing this long enough, so I know who, you're going to hate my phrase, but who I want to get in bed with and who I don't versus what I mean is my fellow agents. It's like, okay, this one's good. This one's scary. This one's
have you been
naughty and nice.
Several of your agents? What are we talking about?
No, it's just, you know, the personalities. And what's interesting when I was working with this gentleman yesterday, mm-hmm. I mean, he's done a lot of business and he was pretty funny. He's like, I won't work with that one, that one, that one, that one, or that one.
Yeah. And
it's like, wow.
Once you have a bad experience, especially yeah. if you're the buyer. So, okay. So I got to throw in one other thing.
Okay.
So one of the things that often happens when an agent is representing both sides, and this could be in a multiple offer situation or not, but this question gets asked a lot. So the seller gets suddenly presented an offer where the agent's representing both parties. And the first question they ask the agent, or one of the first, is, will you reduce your commission because you're getting both sides?
Yep.
So I was asked in an email, can a seller renegotiate the commission if an agent is representing both sides?
I don't think so, because they've signed a written contract.
So the answer to that is...
Uh-oh, I probably gave the wrong answer.
We'll be right back after this next message. We'll give you the answer after this. Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat. So you may not know this, but we are sponsored by a local real estate company here in Northern California called Lyon & Foster International. The good folks at Lyon & Foster are an international luxury real estate company, helping home buyers and sellers as well as investors, whether they're buying or selling a home locally here in the Bay Area or abroad in a foreign country. So if you'd like some help or like to discuss those opportunities, please give the folks at Lyon & Foster a call. You can reach them toll-free at 855-367-4200. Again, 855-367-4200. Or you can email them at thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com. Again, that's thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com. Welcome back to The Property Beat, where we are answering all sorts of controversial questions about dual agency today. So the question that I raised was, can a seller, when the buyer is being represented by the seller's agent,
yes,
the dual agent, can the seller use that to say, okay, well, hey, since you're getting both sides, I want to renegotiate the commission. I don't want to pay you that 6%. I want to pay you 5%. Or I don't want to pay you 5%. I want to pay you 4% because you're getting both sides. Can the seller do that?
Well, you already heard my answer.
Which was?
No, because they signed a contract.
Well, they can always ask.
Sure, they can ask. But, you know, and the agent can say just what I said. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Seller. You did sign a contract offering to pay 6%. And why should I be penalized? Because I did my job.
Yeah, that's kind of where I go. It's like, really? You want to punish the guy or gal that brought you your offer? That's
exactly
getting you the sale? And so
then I want to be on title on with him on his next
yeah. So I think that the correct answer is, and you've said it, is that the seller cannot legally enforce a reduced commission because they do have a signed agreement saying they're going to pay 6 or 5 or whatever the commission agreement is,
mm-hmm.
or 7 or 8. And in some marketplaces, it is 7 or 8 or 10% if it's land. I mean, there's different commission rates. But so they've already signed an agreement to do that. And if they refuse to accept an offer because the listing agent does not want to reduce their commission, they could actually be sued for that commission in the end of the game.
Well, that would be pretty short-sighted.
It'd be short-sighted. But so legally they can't because they've signed a commission and the agent has done exactly what you hired them to do.
Right.
Now, some agents offer in their actual listing agreement to say, okay, we're going to charge you 6% commission, but if I, Mr. Seller, Mr. Seller, if I, Cliff Verratti, bring the buyer, I will only charge you 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So not my company, right? Because another agent in my company doesn't help me one way or another. But if I bring the buyer directly, I'll offer to take a point less or some reduced commission. So that's very legal and very okay. And it might be one way to address this issue in advance. But the listing agent now has to put into the MLS that there is a dual commission arrangement. Because otherwise, if an agent from ABC Realty brings an offer at the same time that I bring an offer on $1 million listing, but my seller pays $10,000 less commission with my buyer, the other realtor is at an unfair advantage unless I've told them about this disparity.
So do you think agents, I'm sure, do this, but do you think they actually really put it in the MLS properly? I would venture to say no.
So I don't know that. So if they've actually contracted and done this as part of their listing agreement, they must disclose it. But what happens behind closed